Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have three rounds of the magazine, and we also have a big-time accident that's going on right now. We just sat down to record. We are getting ready to go into everything that we're going to talk about today. Kate was getting set up. Next thing you know, we hear an absolute explosion of childhood diarrhea that struck Kate's baby. Maybe not diarrhea. I don't want to say that. Just a normal poop. He went through it. Kate ended up with all over her sweater. She's going to hop on later after she's done doing mom things and getting that whole situation all cleaned up. But man, oh man.
That's what he did there. That was nice.
That, the sound. I can't tell you, Cons, how little I missed that sound of an absolute blowout right away.
Yes, it is a sound that you can't fully appreciate until you hear it live. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. Yep.
But as soon as you do, it was funny. As soon as that happened, we both heard it. We were like, oh.
Well, we'll see you later, Kate. Yeah. That's going to go in some hair. That's going to be all over the place. Oh, and it really goes in. What we're going to talk about in the final round today, a little bit of an excuse, because Kate's back on ZBT before she really should have been back, or she had to be back or anything like that. She came back early, and she's the last two.
I'm curious to ask Kate now, because now that we're not under the Penn umbrella, like, does Barstool have a maternity leave policy? Because I would have said it was 50-50, but that's great to hear that we do actually have an official policy.
Wow. Yep. And she came back way before she had to come back. The last 2 weeks, Mac has been off the camera, or Buck has been off the camera, just outside the camera, sitting with her, not even hardly a coo. And then this week we start off right away with the poo. It just happens sometimes. She's going to come in later. But today we're going to talk about two things, really. We're going to talk about one. There was some tweets that came around from this fella who was an 0311. He ended up going to Columbia to get his master's degree. He's a smart boy, uses big words that have lots of definitions and all kinds of probably Roman suffixes and shit like that to prove that he's smart. He fired off some tweets about the officer-enlisted relationship and the officer-enlisted divide that there is in some places. So we're going to get into that and see if we think he's an idiot or not, like most of the internet has. And then he did something bizarre. He called everybody vet bros. If you didn't agree with them, you're a vet bro. Simple as that. Vet bro. That's all that was mad about him from what he thought. Secondly, Young Thug is going through a RICO charge right now. We talked about RICO charges a little while ago, I think whenever it got set up with President Trump's charges in Georgia. But we talked about how RICO charges are very hard to beat. And we're really not going to talk about Young Thug's case, but there was a line at the end of the opening statement from his attorney that would make Lance Corporals and Specialists and A1Cs and Seamen all over the place just giggle their little heads off, because it was a Lance Corporal type excuse. But I loved it, and I think it could be effective. It could be effective, Cons. It really could be. So we're going to go ahead and hop right into the first story. And that comes to us from Task and Purpose, and it's going to be brought to you by our good friends at Omaha Steaks. The holidays are here. Let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gifting. Shop carefully curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long. Go to omahasteaks.com. Save 50% off store-wide. Plus, when you use the promo code ZBT at checkout, you're going to get $30 off your order. You can send Tendy Juicer, Butcher Cut, Filet Mignon, mouth-watering burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, or an easy-to-prepare meal that's ready in a flash. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. This offer won't last long. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early and beat the shopping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code ZBT at checkout. Omaha Steaks is a great gift from the heart, a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with the complete confidence today, knowing that you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Take advantage of 50% off site-wide, plus the promo code ZBT at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. A minimum order may be required. Again, that's omahasteaks.com. 50% off site-wide, plus the promo code ZBT at checkout to get like $30 off. I don't know how much you're going to end up paying if you have that. That's a great 50% off and then additional 30.
And on top of that, the timing couldn't be better for Omaha to rejoin and offer up a code with all the holidays coming up. If you're a host and you need to get some good meat, and they have a whole wide variety of different cuts of meat and everything, and it's delicious. I've rode with Omaha. We've ridden with Omaha for a long time now. You would be weary, I think, sometimes if you're not familiar, but getting steak in the mail doesn't seem like something you should do, but they figured it out, and it's an unbelievable process and delicious meat.
Yeah, it's great. Kate just sent us just an update on Kate. She just sent us a video, and I haven't watched the video because I was doing the podcast, but I do see that there's some poop on the carpet. It made it all the way to the carpet, folks. We're in a real situation here with Kate. We're going to let her finish up whatever she's got going on. And if she can hop on, she can. And if not, that's okay too. She's doing mom stuff. She had a baby like 3 weeks ago. She gets as clean of a slate as possible. I would never tell. She could be like, in 6 months, I'm still not back. Like, okay, I've never had a baby and I don't know what's involved with it. So you go ahead, do what you need to do. The first story that we're going to talk about today, a Marine Corps grad and fancy Columbia School grad set military Twitter ablaze this week with talk about the officer enlisted divide. We'll see if that's real or really a bunch of bullshit, because Ivan Sanook set social media on fire on Sunday after posting that U.S. military should stop allowing enlisted service members to become officers. Just with the first little note there, Cons, what do you think? Do you agree or not agree that officers should be officers, enlisted should be enlisted? Because we're going to get into the whole story, but just before we do, your initial impressions on the statement, do you think that enlisted should be able to go from enlisted to becoming an officer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I don't think it should be just as simple as like raising your hand and saying like, hey, can you promote me? There needs to be a process, which there is. But I think it's fine. And I think it's something that should continue.
Kate?
So my uncle went into the Marine Corps as enlisted, and then they picked him out. They're like, you're a smart, no offense to enlisted, they're like, you're a smart guy. We're forcing you to go officer. And he ended up flying F-16 fighter jets.
Wow.
So I feel like
didn't know you had a pilot in your family that flew F-16s.
My Uncle Marty during the Vietnam War era. Yes. So,
wow. Had no idea about Uncle Marty. That's awesome. I know.
Shout out Uncle Marty. Let's get him on the show.
See, he came to my graduation at Parris Island. He's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, and so he went enlisted to officer, and I think he did pretty damn good. So I don't know.
I mean, I think some of the best officers I've ever worked with were prior enlisted folks.
I think
every unit kind of needs a couple of those.
I think they're the ones who have the inside baseball on how to deal with enlisted and vice versa. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of smart. I would also like a couple officers to throw a curveball and go enlisted.
Well, I mean, not to put
like undercover boss.
Never mind. That's still a commission. Never mind.
But I think you're alluding to it, Cons. Like last week when we talked about the five unfortunate soldiers who lost their lives, that they had resigned their actual commission, where they're no longer commissioned officers. So they went the other way, became warrant officers instead. But this fella, Ivan, he says that Mustangs, which is the term that is described for somebody that went enlisted and then became an officer. He said Mustangs erode the system legitimacy and distinct culture of the officer corps, like merchants marrying into the aristocracy. Eritocracy. There we go.
Nevertheless, you're enlisted right now, chaps.
I really am. And I knew it. That's why I was saying fancy words. Because listen, folks, I feel like I'm an intelligent fella. I can't read aloud. I just can't do it. I'm doing better. I've been trying doing ad reads. I feel like I've been doing better with that. But some of these words are going to trip me up. There's no doubt about it. Okay, do you want to take over?
Is this your burner account, Cons?
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
So you just finished reading what his tweet was, right?
Yeah. So, nevertheless, we are intent on lowering the standards and reducing military service to being just the job ASAP. That's where we're at.
If this isn't a boot lieutenant who's like super hyped up on himself, that I can accept. Cause like, I thought I could do karate when I got out of boot camp. I get it. Your head's a little fucked up at first. If this is any rank other than boot lieutenant, this person is an absolute douchebag.
This guy was never an officer. He was an 0311, enlisted the entire time. He never was an officer.
Oh, is he just a really good troll? Is he just really?
No. Like Jeff Strogel, that's who we got the information from. This article that we're going through is from Jeff. He interviewed him because Jack Murphy from the Team House had a tweet that he was like, I'm not sure this guy's real. Like, I've looked into it. I'm not sure if he's one of those. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but Sports Illustrated had to come out and make a statement because their writers union found out that Sports Illustrated would use an AI to write their sports articles and using fake names, fake AI generated pictures of the reporters that they were going to use. Some people in Mill Twitter thought that this guy, Ivan Shook, was that type of AI, that somebody made it AI just to troll people. But Jeff interviewed him and he stuck to his guns about what's going on here.
Well, he says, and the reaction wasn't great. Many other veterans, including longtime enlisted officers and Mustangs, agree. And people are saying there's two schools of thoughts, chaps, on this.
They are, yeah.
One retired Marine colonel posted that Mustangs are respected within the Marine Corps because they've already proven themselves. Others posted that they served with great officers who were prior enlisted service members. And I did. We had a couple Mustangs and they were great. And I do feel like at our level, at like lower enlisted, we definitely respected them a little bit more because we're like, oh, you're one of us, one of us, one of us. Mm-hmm. Someone said a former A-10 pilot named Dale Stark posted, I'm prior enlisted and I enjoyed eroding the esteem, legitimacy, and distinct culture of the officer corps.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
In fact, that was my favorite part. So that was the Mustang saying, I quite enjoyed ruining your Marine Corps. The character of the officer enlisted divide is an ancient topic in military circles, and there's some who believe the split shouldn't exist at all, yet there remains a yawning chasm between officers and enlisted. I mean, there has to be, right? It'd be weird if there wasn't. Why would there even be two separate genres, I guess, of, I don't know, right?
I'm not sure. I understand, like, some people saying that it might be a thing of the past, like a relic of the past, but I don't think so. I think that there needs to be a clear distinction of responsibilities. And I think that's kind of where we're missing the boat a little bit. From what I've observed over the last few years, I think that officers are a little more involved in training than I personally experienced. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. Like, I feel like officers should be in command, have like the command authority, have the commander's intent, and then give that over to the enlisted, and the enlisted supervisors implement that mission and carry it out. Cons, what are your thoughts on that? You're the only officer on the group with enlisted folks, so how do you feel about that?
So I have a few thoughts. You know, number one, obviously the Mustangs are respected because they see both sides, so they've experienced both worlds. And in within both of those worlds, there are stereotypes, okay? They're stereotyped.
You've heard them on this show for years.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I mean, to an extent, those stereotypes exist in some truth. But I think you have to take each individual as such, as an individual person, and not just bucket them like, oh, well, he went to West Point, so he's XYZ, because that's not the case. Now, it very well may be the case when some things come to light. But, you know, just the same way, you can't be like, oh, well, he's stupid. He's an NCO, or she's stupid. She's, you know, a lowly E4. I don't think you can just take it and make it black and white, like, hey, we shouldn't do this ever and shouldn't allow NCOs or enlisted to become officers, because I think you lose out a lot of times on great leaders. Because I think, and I've long held this position, I don't think you can fully just create a leader in a vacuum or, you know, in a test tube. You can't just make someone a leader. I think there are certain qualities of an individual that you need to have innately to be an effective leader. Let's say you could put anybody in a position, you know, you could get through OCS or West Point or the Naval Academy probably and get through if you're not necessarily the greatest leader. But I think the great leaders just were born with certain qualities. The same way certain people are born to be professional athletes. You could practice a million hours on a basketball court. If you're 5'1" and slow and you can't jump, chances are you're not going to get to the NBA, right?
You're saying officers are the pro athletes of our military and we're just JV? Okay.
Yes, that's correct. That's
but
correct.
I will say, like some people, I knew, because I had one semester of college left to go and the recruiters were like, you know, you could finish college and be an officer. And I was like, let me tell you something. I know in my bones, not an officer.
Right, because there's so much more about being an officer than just having a college degree, which is why I think it's great to have these Mustangs, the enlisted, who go to the other side because they were identified as someone who has these great leadership qualities. And they say, all right, like, let's take you and now put you in a position to lead others. And there's nothing wrong with being a follower. Our military needs followers, too. Not everyone is supposed to be a leader. So I think it's fine to have and a good thing to have Mustangs and continue on with that.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's good. And not just from the perspective of the invaluable experience that they have, like being on both sides of the fence, but also because it gives the junior enlisted troop something to really strive for. Like, I feel like it's a great goal, and you see other people in your goal in your unit that have accomplished that goal. Like, for instance, I don't necessarily like the fact that the Mustangs have more experience in it. Like, all that is the argument, like that they've been on our side too. I think one of the biggest aspects that really influences Mustangs being well is because, one, they're not coming in the military at 23. They have been in for a little while, have a little bit of experience, and then went to school and then became an officer. So they're sitting at like probably 26, at least 27, with a little bit of experience. And then you're talking to them as an 18 or 19 or 20 year old junior troop, and you see them as a little bit older. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit more mature, most likely, than most brand new first lieutenants are. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit more seasoned than most first lieutenants or second lieutenants are. So I think that's where the respect comes from, is the maturity gained through age and years, rather than just necessarily they have the same experiences with me. But when you marry those two up, there's a reason why Mustangs are beloved. There just is. I remember one that I had, First Lieutenant Jensen. He was in Okinawa. He was the commander of Schwab, like the Marine Corps detachment up at Schwab. And whenever we would go and I would do training with him, he was a McMap guy, so we would do McMap together. He was huge, man. He played rugby at Penn State. He was like 6'4". He was a Lance Corporal at first, the machine gunner, then got accepted into the officer program, went to Penn State, played rugby, enormous dude. And he would come out there and he would talk to us about some of his experiences being a machine gunner and then going to school. And I swear to God, man, and a lot of it probably because he's a big dude too, but the folks hung on every word that he said, like legitimately. Mm-hmm. Like if he said something to you about training or what you need to be doing to improve your Marine Corps career, you fucking listened, because he was a first lieutenant. Then when he was wearing Charlie's or he was wearing a dress uniform, he had his ribbons and medals all stacked up. You know that he'd seen some shit and been there, and he has legit advice for you. And I think that really affected a lot of people. It affected me for sure. I hung on every single word that Lieutenant Jensen said.
It gives you street cred.
Yeah, it does give you street cred. Yeah.
And when you walk in the door to any new unit, you are going to get judged before you open your mouth. So if you already have that street cred, you have that one less hurdle to overcome to gain respect of your unit. So I think it's helpful. And the other thing, I think a lot of times with a lot of Mustangs, it just comes down to circumstance. Like, let's just say I had every intention of going to Penn State right out of high school, doing ROTC and then commissioning. But then, you know, my parents got sick and I needed to stay home, or I needed to go get a job and start earning money right away. So instead of going to college, I enlisted for 5 years. And then I made the, you know, so it's not just cut and dry, like I was saying earlier before, and it's black and white where we should just cut this off and say, no, this is a bad thing. So I don't get why this guy said what he said, and it certainly stirred up the hornet's nest.
Well, I feel like I get why he said what he said, because this guy seems like the kind of guy reading this next paragraph who just likes to be contrarian. This is his comment.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being at a party or some other public gathering discussing my graduate school research, analyzing small unit group psychology, veteran suicide, and the causes of war atrocities with Sigmund Freud's psychoanalytic theory and Axel Honneth's recognition theory, and then having a friend of a friend with no background in philosophy say to me in front of everybody, wow, that's fucking stupid. You're a real dumbass. I don't mean to
say... You know
say
who this guy
say,
is?
Huh.
Sorry, Dwight but Treat? You know who this guy is? He's the guy in the Good Will Hunting in the bar that Will just emasculates.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
You know, you get to a point in your life where you do some thinking, where you realized, you know, you could you spent $100,000 or $200,000 on an education you could have gotten for $1.50 in late fees.
Next semester, you're gonna come in here spouting off about Gordon Wood.
Yeah. That's who this guy is.
Yeah,
pre-utopian societies. You're exactly right, Con. That's who that fella is. And you look at a person like that. And you're like, why, man? Like, why? This is never going to happen. It'll never happen. And the fact that he goes into one of the reasons why he says this and gives this is that he thinks that the officer needs to have almost like this, not Freudian, but Platonic thought of the forms, like that Plato described that there is a perfect form of everything in the earth. Like, so if you have a basketball, there's one perfect example of a celestial basketball with absolutely no imperfections whatsoever. He's saying that we should have the Platonic form of a leader in every single officer, and that the officer, the enlisted, need to look them almost like deity, like they're deity type.
It's weird.
Yeah, I feel like he wants a caste system like in India, and like we're the enlisted are the smelly people, even though he was one too.
And it's like they don't want people to follow you because they think you're godly. You want them to follow you because you show great leadership skills, a technical proficiency, and the ability to get the mission done that's assigned to them by their superior officers. Like, that's all you really want. Like, that's all you need.
I can't even read this guy's responses. This is an infantry guy who went to college, and this is his version of thinking he knows karate because he went to like mental karate. The simplest reason why is that authentic subordinates to the group via leader requires that the leader be so highly idealized to the group imagery. After analyzing World War I shock victims, Freud described the effect of a good leader as hypnosis. When an enlisted is elevated to the realm of idealized leader, the hypnosis is reversed. Instead of the enlisted, blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh my God.
This is such gobbledygook. It is ridiculous.
I'll say civil. It's just drivel.
It's drivel. It is. I mean, hey, but it's not a talking, so he's on to something there, you know?
He really does. He might be on to something there.
It's drivel. But
this fella, I'm going to say that I didn't see hardly anybody agree with him, which is a good thing.
No, I didn't see anybody agree with him at all, which was good. I just didn't understand I saw a lot of stuff come on my timeline, and I didn't understand what the hullabaloo was. And then, you know, you sent this over, got to the bottom of it, and it's just absolutely poppycock.
Well, you should see his statements about female Marine veterans having babies outside of wedlock. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Kate, so what
before
is this,
we go
what
into
is
round two,
here?
Kate.
What?
Before we get What's into round two, I Kate, I think you need to explain a little bit about what just happened.
Oh, man. There was a firefight. right before the show started, we all heard him rip a nasty one. And then I went to change him because I didn't see it going up his back. I thought, oh, it's not a blowout. It's fine. Turns out it was. It was all the way up to his neck. So I took him out of his onesie and I picked him up real quick to wipe his neck. And when I picked him up, the gravity sent all the rest of the poop in his body flying out into the carpet, my outfit, my socks, all over my drawers, some of which were open, unfortunately. So he pooped wet diarrhea into my clothing drawers and the shag carpeting that this house has, the old shag rug. And let me tell you something about baby poop. It'll soak into anything. It's not very solid.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he was covered in poop. I was covered in poop. My bedroom's now covered. Because I wanted to get back on the show, I just put pieces of tissue down over the poop spots.
Oh, that's fine.
I'll deal with it later.
Yeah, no worries.
What does he mean that enlisted are crappier than officers? Anyways, let me go clean my poopy drawers.
So no, let's go into round number two. So in Atlanta right now, there's a case going on that's a RICO case, which is a racketeering charge. And Young Thug and his entire organization, like Slime or whatever the fuck they're called, they are under they're under state indictment. They're going through these charges. And if you don't remember, we talked about it a while ago, but the RICO charges, if you get charged with a RICO crime, the odds that you go to prison and that you either accept a plea or you get convicted are 96%. If they come with those charges, 96% likelihood that you're going to get convicted.
So and a RICO charge, they line you up against the wall and throw high noons at your head. Isn't that
true,
right?
True, they do. Yeah. Tough. Yeah, and the big T is the big 10 years that you're likely to get at least.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So he's on trial for that right now, and they're doing their opening statements. And they're through these opening statements, the prosecutors are laying out the case that Young Thug, who's a rapper, and all of his associates have been doing organized crimes in the greater Atlanta area, and that some of those crimes involved murders and hijackings and all kinds of shit, carjackings, that they've been doing all kinds of really, really terrible things. And they've been doing it for years, and some of their lyrics and their songs point, and they are confirming the police investigations is what they're saying. Like there's lines in one of his songs about a Tahoe and that there's that your car got laced with Tahoes coming from the Lexus or something like that. And there was one crime that they're investigating that they had two magazines that were dropped into the side of a Tahoe from a Lexus Q60 that was rented by Young Thug. So they're putting together all this different information and using the lyrics as confirmation. And the judge recently ruled that they were able to do that. So if these charges go through, one, he's going to be accomplice to murder and attempted murder and will most likely go to jail for the rest of his natural life. That's Young Thug. His real name is Jeffrey something. Jeffrey Simmons, I think his name is off the top of the
head. Yeah, I'd switch to Young Thug too. And Jeffrey Simmons just isn't going to work in the rap game.
No, it's not. So he's Young Thug now. He's going through his whole trial. His defense attorney gets up. And if you know anything about court, typically in a opening statement for both sides, for the prosecution and for the defense, the other side doesn't typically object to anything or interrupt because you're supposed to have your time to lay out your case or lay out your defense in front of the jury uninterrupted unless you do something that breaks the rules of the court. So the defense attorney is laying out this entire scenario about what's going on and laying the groundwork for what's going to be Young Thug's defense. Some of it is that he's come from a terrible background, that he lived in the project. He had three brothers that live with him in his small room. And then next door, there was six of his sisters that lived in a small room. And then he had a single mother that they couldn't afford any type of electricity, any type of decent food, anything like that. He describes a life of poverty, which I'm sure is 100% accurate. And then he starts going into some of the technical aspects about the case and who Young Thug is as a person. Because of his Young Thug moniker, the prosecution said that he has been a thug since he was 15, that he's been involved with the life of crime for all these years, that he's been doing nefarious things in and around the Atlanta area, causing death, mayhem, and destruction along the way for decades at this point, for a decade and a half. But normal stuff in a trial, right? Whenever you're having these kind of trial things. Mm-hmm. The thing that I wanted to point out is that I think every Lance Corporal in the world would love this excuse because they hung so much on his name being Young Thug. The defense attorney came out and said, everyone is talking about, or the prosecution wants you to believe that his name is Young Thug because that goes against some of the activities that he would have thuggish behavior in his activities. However, Young Thug's name is an acronym, and the acronym is Truly Humbled Under God, is what they're trying to say. Thug is an acronym for. And when I read that in the article, I stood up. I was like, excellent work. I mean, If I was sitting at the company gunny desk and somebody came in and they're like, listen, yeah, I was late for PT. Truly Humbled Under God. It's hard to argue against that, right?
That's my nickname in the Corps was Young JJ Did Tie Buckle.
True. I remember people
saying
that.
It's a big acronym for lots of good things. So
that was actually up on the, where did we see you on the wall, Kate, for being a lioness? Where was that?
Oh, the Air Force Academy.
Oh yeah. The
Air Force Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you on one of the walls at West Point cons?
Not to my knowledge. Unfortunately. Wow.
I do love, though, like outside the box, like the lawyers that can really think outside the box. I was listening to a podcast this weekend about this man on death row, and he had murdered someone, but this lawyer was trying to get him off death row by saying he wasn't mentally capable. He had like a very, very, very low IQ and all kinds of serious, serious mental disorders. And she's like, under California law, California law says you can't put someone to death with that kind of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But the state sent in a psychiatrist who said, well, he played tic-tac-toe with me. And if he was really that crazy and disabled, he wouldn't be able to play tic-tac-toe. That was their defense. So the lawyer defending this guy found, she remembered as a kid, chickens playing tic-tac-toe at the state fairs.
Wow.
And she brought a chicken into court and tried to make the other lawyer play the chicken in tic-tac-toe. To prove, like, anyone can play tic-tac-toe. It's not, it doesn't, whatever. And I just would never think as a lawyer, like, I need to get a chicken in here, you know? Or that, you know what thug actually stands for? You know, I applaud that kind of thinking, I just have to say.
Yeah, and it's not like, it's not, hey, let me get somebody off for doing something that they did that was illegal. It's, let me ensure that they are afforded all of their rights under the United States Constitution, and none of those rights are impeded by something the defense or the prosecution is trying to do. So I think that's really what makes so many attorneys very, very talented. It's just knowing the law to that extent, or having some sort of anecdote like that, Kate.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you were still in and you were like a company commander or maybe even a battalion commander and people are messing up. And you give the opportunity to, outside of the UCMJ, you're not going to like do like a NJP or anything like that, but it needs to go almost to that level. I think it would be fun if we did mock trials where you allowed a corporal to defend a lance corporal or the other way around and see what kind of arguments. I think that could actually come up with some fruit, right? Well, like if you had
talk about barracks lawyers, and they are I feel like every unit has a guy who like knows all the loopholes and knows
or
all
thinks he facts. Thinks her he or she does, which is the best part. They think they do.
That was me. Yeah, I thought I did, and I would give terrible advice to people.
But I agree. I think that could be a good learning experience too. I mean, you know, as much as you want to develop soldiers, Marines, airmen, sailors physically and in their jobs, that's just yet another way to develop them, you know, from an education standpoint. I would support that. I think it would be fun.
Maybe I'll start doing that at home. Let my kids defend each other. Like, for instance, I'm tired of looking like a vagabond. Cart is the laziest child ever and will not do a task to completion unless they have intense supervision the entire time. Like, for instance, we're in the throes of Amazon box season. Like, I'm sure you guys are as well with Christmas gifts and Kate, like diapers or you too, cons, things showing up. Cons, you're fucking moving. There's got to be boxes all over your house.
Well, now we just switched last night to our new address. So, because nothing else needs to come here. And I'm just thinking to myself, it was so easy in my apartment building. There's just like a trash collection area. So, all our boxes or whatever, just brought them down there. Now I'm thinking, I'm probably going to have to break them down. Yeah, I might have to bring them to a recycling center. I get recycling like once every 2 weeks, but that probably won't suffice with all the Amazon boxes that we get.
Definitely doesn't suffice. So we're on the alley. Like my house is on the alley and we're the first house, not on the street, but we're one of the first houses on the alley that's going back. And my kids take the boxes out. They need to have chores that they're responsible to take care of every day. And one of those is taking the trash out and the boxes out. Kelsey does a good job of breaking them down. Like Kelsey will break the boxes down. One, I think because she's the first kid. First kids are typically better listeners than the follow-on children. McCartney does not give a fuck, dude. Like I'll be like, McCartney, take the boxes out. Sure, Dad, no problem. Boxes are gone. I'll walk out there. It looks like a mess, man. It looks like Skid Row whenever I go back and see what McCartney's done. And so yesterday, I finally had to tell them, look, I don't care who's responsible, but if I go back there and see at the trash it's not broken down, there'll be monetary fines for Kelsey, and there'll be intense cell phone restriction and screen time restrictions for McCartney. One, because Kelsey's 18 and I'm trying to teach her about HOAs and shit like that.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get fined, she's going to get fined because she's the one that's doing that or supervising that role. So going in, and I think having them having to defend the other sibling, like if McCartney's going to get their cell phone taken away for a week, I'm like, Kelsey, Cardi's going to get their cell phone taken away for a week unless you can convince me why they shouldn't have that done. And if you can convince me, then you get a prize. And if not, McCartney loses their cell phone. I think it would create a little bit of teamwork for them and coming together. What do you guys think? Good idea, Matt.
I think so. But I think even before that, you'd get to the root of it and they would just think to themselves, I don't want to go to all that trouble to defend myself. I'm just going to do this the right way the first time.
Yeah.
Well, I was like clueless whenever she would get a bad grade.
Yeah.
He would have her because her dad was a lawyer. He'd be like, I don't mind that you got a C so long as you can go back in and argue to your teacher why you should get a better grade. And if you can even up your grades a little bit, I'm proud of you. And he would make her go argue for better grades. And I'm like, yeah, I appreciate that.
Huh. Yeah. So the excuse of Young Thug and what his name actually meant got me thinking about some of the best excuses there could be to get out of work in the military. So I wanted to go through, I think some are good, some are bad. So we're going to go through them and decide good or bad, or if it would work. Okay. Kate, you want to read some of those?
Yeah. And I think people don't realize, like, in the real world, excuses, like, yeah, you come up with excuses to get out of stuff. In the military, like, you miss work, you can get charged. Like, you can get in huge trouble. Like, it's not
go to jail. Yeah.
So your excuses need to be pretty good. Like, you're making a riskier move making excuses in the military than you are in the civilian world. So, all right, here we go.
Big time. Like, I don't think we're going to get into some of these and a little groundwork. Some of them are like getting out of PT or you're feeling sick in the morning. I don't think people who haven't been in the military realize if Kate, let's say Kate wakes up, she's got 102 fever.
Yeah.
She checks her fever herself, 102, her throat hurts. She's feeling like shit. She's been up all night puking. It does not matter. She can't just call and be like, hey, I'm really sick. I need to stay home today. No. She's got to get her flu-y ass up, go be around everybody else, exposing them to the flu germs that she has, then would have to go to the hospital, get that checked out, all the while still having 102 degree temperature, feeling like absolute garbage, to get a note, take that note back to her supervisor and be like, hey, they told me to go home for the day. I do, in fact, have 102 temperature like the thermometer at home indicated.
Yeah.
Now I need to go home. Has to do all that stuff. And you don't get really any rest.
No,
it's at all. Like, to get
just going to work. Yeah, it's more stressful.
That's why people show up that way. They just show up to work sick as shit.
So, and are these from
Reddit? They have to have excuses sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are from Reddit. Yeah.
Okay. I shit myself, so I went in the woods and sacrificed a sock. By the time my sockless ass made it back to formation, it was already started, and the guys had already started PT, so I just went home and showered. I can take you in the woods to where I ditched my shitty sock if you want proof. So this guy was lying and saying he shit himself in the woods. That's what you got
to
do.
I'm going to look. If that's the excuse, I'm like, take me to that fucking sock, devil dog.
I think I would, too. I'd be like,
I actually...
Yeah, we're one going of to that you, sock.
Chaps, you asked us to come up with some that we could remember, and one of mine involved an NCO, you know, going somewhere to ensure that the lie wasn't being told and that it was true. And we can go into those after we read these.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, so let me be clear. Yeah. Like, when soldiers, you know, weren't at formation, listen, we were talking about officer NCO divide. Listen, that wasn't my lane. Okay. That was smoke. That was platoon sergeant's job to like, I cared to want to make sure that they were safe and nothing was wrong with them. But in terms of being at formation on time, that was his lane. And I wasn't going to step on his toes. So apparently this kid called in, said, hey, my uncle is in town visiting. This is on a Monday morning. My uncle is in town visiting and he's sick. I need to take him to the hospital. Okay. Got it. So this kid finally shows up right around lunchtime. And my platoon sergeant says, hey, I'm going to take you home later. I want to make sure your uncle's okay. Just to make sure he's there. Make sure he's okay. I want to make sure. This kid, I mean, you know, credit to how inventive soldiers and service members get. He called a dude from like the local bar that he hung out with all the time. He's like, go to my house and you're my uncle. Okay. Whatever happens, you're my uncle. Sure enough, my platoon sergeant goes, this dude is just sitting in his house. Yeah. I'm his uncle. Yeah. I'm not feeling too well. I was at the hospital. And my platoon sergeant at that point, like he knew he was lying, but it's, what are you going to say at that point?
Right. You know, what are you going to do? Subpoena the birth certificates? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that
was good. Always pays to have a bar guy handy on your phone.
It really does.
But he went, he was like, all right, cool. I'm going to your house. Show me. So,
well, that kind of lines up with this one. I had a soldier fabricate a death certificate for a family member that he had made up. He had everything lined up as if it were real. He even went as far as calling Red Cross to alert the chain, to alert me. They called me and told me it was a false report. I let him skip PT. Then we had us a good old time.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I let him get away.
How would they know? How would Red Cross know? Like, I've never set up a Red Cross message, but how would they know? You have to send them? Because the death certificate wouldn't come that fast.
I think death notices, though, I don't know how, but like, I remember my mom's mom died when I was in Afghanistan, and they had to alert me through the Red Cross because otherwise, like, the command won't believe it or won't like listen to it unless it's coming directly from an official source. So I think they do vet. I don't know if they call the local, if the Red Cross is able to call the local like mortuaries or something like that, but they do confirm it. And so that's
there's
why
a death notice, like there's definitely some way to confirm that on their end. I was always hesitant, actually not hesitant. I never killed anyone. And by that, I mean, I never used so-and-so died as an excuse. Like I never had any grandparents that died. Because I always felt like that was bad.
It's the eighth time your grandma died, dude.
It's like bad karma. Yeah,
especially if the person was still alive. So credit to this person. He created a fake family member before killing them off.
Yeah.
So at least that wasn't that bad.
A lot of people using the shit my pants excuse. I was sick with a pretty bad stomach bug in the middle of the night. I told them and they said they didn't give a fuck. Show up anyways. So on the way to PT, I did shit my pants. I called my first line back and told him and he said he still didn't care. Show up anyways. I got there and tried cleaning myself up best I could. I smelled like shit. I stumbled to the formation and my PSG took one look at me and asked what happened. I told him and he said to get the fuck out of here and what the fuck was wrong with me showing up to formation with shit running down my leg. That's dedication. That's
I read that beautiful. As he pooped himself on purpose.
Yes,
right?
He did.
Yeah. Which I think is a good move. I think if somebody calls you into question that they're not sure if you shit yourself, I think you got to show up with it on your legs.
Yeah. I love this next one because it's this isn't an excuse by them. This is like a real thing that happened to them. And I can see it actually happening to a lot of people. I'm sure every now and then on base, you'll see someone chasing their dog. I was late once because I couldn't get my dog back in the house. She thought it was playtime and it took me 30 minutes to get her inside. Major Rogue, why are you late? Well, ma'am, I couldn't get my dog inside. Oh, I love your sweet puppy. No problem. Okay.
Officer enlisted divide right there.
Yeah.
I mean, in a big way. That's a major get. No chance. That's the same thing if a PFC lost their dog. None.
No, but I'm telling you, if someone told me pretty much any excuse, I'd be like, all right. Because it wasn't my problem to deal with. As I said earlier, it wasn't my lane. So if you gave me an excuse, I was like, all right, fine. But just to give you the civilian listeners, they just think about like how many days, like, you know, just sometimes you just don't feel like going to work. You need a mental health day, whatever. So you call your work, you say, hey, I got a 100-degree fever. I'm not going to be at work today. And there's no excuse. And it's no different than the military. There's just some days you just don't feel like going to work, especially when it's, you know, 6 a.m. and you got to go work out as a group. But we just don't have that luxury in the military. It's just the hoops you got to jump through to take a sick day are not worth it pretty much ever.
I wonder if you guys think you should. Do you think there should be like a sick day PTO, like if you're not, obviously not if you're doing like a field op or if you're going on a deployment or something like that, but just a normal Monday through Friday, which is a vast majority of the time that you're in the military, do you think that you should be afforded simple PTOs and sick days off?
No, because God bless, enlisted myself, love them. They're going to get in trouble. That's going to be.
Oh, yeah. We're taking advantage of it.
Sorry. No mental health days.
I posed that question now. If I would have posed that question to myself 10 years ago, I might would have beat my own ass, honestly.
Yeah. Like, Because also the argument is also, well, just you have leave days. So if you need to take a day off, use your leave.
Yeah.
But I understand.
Just let them know 3 weeks prior. That's all you need to do.
Exactly. Just let them know 3 weeks prior, plan ahead, fill out the form, get it approved by the entire chain of command.
Make sure your tires are filled up with air.
Yeah.
You just got to make sure your tires are filled up with air and that you got insurance on your car. And we just got to confirm that, and then you could have a day off. Easy. Simple as that. All right. Next one.
Okay. Told my squad leader I was involved in identity theft and a detective wanted me to verify all my purchases from the last year. Rolled over and went back to sleep and showed up to my company area around 1000 with folks genuinely concerned about the outcome of the investigation. E4 Mafia for the win.
That's a good one.
That's a good
one. That is a good one.
But I still, if I was a leader, I'd be like, show me your phone then. Show me your phone log that you were on the phone with these people.
Nope. Whatever. Give me detective's name. I'm calling them right now. That's all you have to say.
Because I want to make sure I can help you.
Your icons. I think it would be leadership overstepping. That has zero to do with anything in your military responsibilities at all. But let me talk to him. I'm going to talk to him.
I want to know what pussy ass unit this was. I've pulled the I have a bloody nose and don't want to leave until it stops card a couple times. My staff sergeant would be like, so? And? Okay.
Bleed, bitch. How about that?
We had this real goofball in our unit, and she was the one who cooked the brisket in the sink, in our sink, and would take a shit in the bathroom when I was showering. And she tried to use...
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
You apologized to her while she was shitting?
I was like, no, I didn't say anything.
I'm sorry, I should have been showering at this time. I'm sorry.
I didn't say anything when she marinated brisket.
Smell is so heightened in the shower, too. You smell everything when you're in there.
Well, she tried a couple times. She would stay up all night long chugging monsters and then be like, I can't sleep. It's like, yeah, no shit. But she tried using the period excuse a few times to get out of PT, and I was always like, and some period pain is like crippling, but I just knew with her, I was like, you've ruined any credibility you could possibly have. Like, get the fuck up.
That had to infuriate the rest of the women in your unit, too.
I was the only other one, but it infuriated me pretty bad. I was like, absolutely not. Come on.
Kate, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How much do you think it happens where a female service member says it's that time for them? And they just have a male leader who's like, okay. And they abuse that.
Probably not often. Cause even my staff units with this woman, they're like, no, absolutely. Like, I don't give a, the one thing I can see if you are out in the field and like, or you're somewhere and you get your period early and you're like bleeding through your cami pants, by all means, go home, figure that you're like, I'm not going to make you. But yeah, no, I don't know. I never saw anybody use that. So
yeah, I'd be shocked if that happened.
Yeah.
A lot.
I just think about myself. I don't know. I just think about myself. Like, if a female soldier came up to me and said, hey, sir, I wouldn't ask any questions. I'd be like, oh, okay, go ahead. Go take care of that. I wouldn't question it.
Yeah, you don't want to be at HR, whatever the fuck we call HR anymore. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Today it's going to be presented by our friends at Zen. You guys know we're all about keeping it real, so let's talk about something making a real change for vets in active duty right now, Zen nicotine pouches. If you're looking for a new way to enjoy nicotine, America's number one nicotine pouch comes in 10 varieties like wintergreen, spearmint, coffee, and two strengths of 3 milligrams to kick off your experience and 6 milligrams to take it up a notch. Zen is a smoke-free, spit-free, hands-free, giving you more freedom to move. Plus, it comes as is. There's no batteries or devices needed to get your Zen on, which is one less thing to worry about on your next trip to the PX. Look, when it comes to making a change, we know progress is more important than perfection. Zen knows it too, because everyone's on a different path. If you're curious about what a premium nicotine experience looks like, head to your local convenience store, PX or Zen.com to find out. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. Let's do some save rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you. Never mind. We'll start with cons.
Interesting. I got two. Just something that I don't know. It's interesting what you learn over the years, and you come across new things every day. But I didn't realize the reason that in the Army our Green Berets wear Green Berets, it goes back to World War II, but it can really be traced back and solidified to President Kennedy, because he was going to a trip to then Fort Bragg, now Fort Liberty, And he thought it looked good for our special unit to have some sort of designator that made them special, hence the Green Beret. So he's like,
that was totally Jackie being like, berets, for sure.
Yes. Yes. Well, it goes back to World War II when our special units would be attached to other countries. And other countries, as we know, the beret is a little bit more prominent. So they kind of just like adopted it on their own because they would want to wear what the other country's unit was wearing. And they kind of just did it on their own. But then President Kennedy thought it was like, well, this is special. They should do this all the time. And that should be something that denotes that they are one of our special units. So it's because of President Kennedy that we have Green Berets as part of the uniform. I just thought that was cool. I forget where I came across that, but thought that was interesting. And speaking of uniforms, since we've last spoken, Army came out with their uniforms for the Army-Navy game, all tan, all desert tan, which in my recent memory, I can't think of any college ever having an all tan uniform. Like, we did something similar 2 years ago with the tan camo, but not just straight tan. One thing I will say,
wasn't that the Tenth Mountain year, or was that all white?
No, all white. We're representing the Third ID Dogface Soldiers. It's the 20th anniversary of Thunder Run in Iraq, so that's the reason for the uniform. I really like them, and I will say, I think on television, the all tan against the all navy is going to be an excellent uniform matchup.
I agree. I think uniform aesthetics on the field, it's a good matchup.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hate the all tan.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So, oh, wow. That's all I got.
Katie?
Yeah, the wheels are falling off over here. So poop explosions. I saw something online. A Marine was explaining something to civilians about why we say oorah. And they were like, it's like our version of slay or yes. And people got big mad about that. People really hated
it. I agree. It kind of is. Yeah.
People really hated that.
but it is. Because just like oorah or hoorah in the Army or hooah in the Army. It's like, it's just like a catch-all.
I feel like every group has their oorah, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What do you get? Duval. Yeah. That's the oorah of the Jags, you know?
Yeah,
true.
So
go Birds.
Yo, go Birds, you know?
Speaking of, Kate, what did you think of that little kid giving the middle finger to the Bills fan?
It was cute. It was cute. It was warm-hearted. The Bills fan was laughing, you know? I also saw this great tailgate at the last Eagles
game. Marty would do that in a second.
I have to say, too, I have much respect for any Bills fan who went to that game down in Philly. I feel like... I don't know. I feel like that took some cojones from people. I saw a tailgate at that game where not only was there a live alligator on a table just hanging out, an Eagles tailgate. This is the best thing I've ever seen. I'm going to start doing it moving forward. They had a big buffet tray just full of loose cigarettes for people.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that before.
That's not peak hosting. If I were to really ever go to a Marine Corps ball again, or we host a Marine Corps ball at some point, we will absolutely have a whole buffet of just cigarettes with tongs. You can put them in a bowl, take them around with you.
Cons, we should establish a smoke pit at Army Navy.
We can do that.
Just a little table off and maybe just have some Lucy's.
How about a Zen pit? You can have a little Zen pit going on.
Zen pit, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, smoking lanterns lit, and so is the spit bucket.
Yeah,
you don't have to spit with Zen.
No, you don't. Hands free. Yeah.
I don't really have anything. I don't have anything this week. It's been a good week. I'm looking forward to Christmas season. I'm doing one thing I'm very excited about. I'm a huge choir guy. Just in general, I like listening to choir sing. I like the orchestra. So I have two little dates planned for the Christmas season. One, they have like this candlelight orchestra where they will do like more poppier Christmas stuff, but I'm going to the one with the traditional Christmas music, and it's all in like candlelit. Like, so there's just hundreds of candles in this room. And I'm really looking forward to that. And the second one I'm going to the gay men's choir of Chicago's performance for Christmas stuff too.
The
whole squad's going to that. I can't wait.
They had a free orchestra night in Philly when I lived in Philly, and I'd never been to the Philly Orchestra. It's supposed to be fantastic. So I went, and they're like, surprise, we have this choir. And I was newly single, and I was like, the men in this choir are fucking smoke shows. Holy shit. And it turns out it was the Philadelphia Gay Men's Choir.
Yeah.
They were lit, I gotta say. Very
lit. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to be gay to be in the Gay Men's Choir, which I had no idea. No. Maybe I'll try out. Oh, but and with that, I've been singing Baby Dale Christmas songs, and he loves it. Yeah, his personal favorite is "Oh Holy Night." When I get to the high parts, he really gets going. He's a huge Trick by Brick Christmas guy.
That's a good Christmas. What's your favorite Christmas song?
"Oh Holy Night," easily.
Okay.
Ooh. You?
"Christmas in New York." No, "Christmas in New York" by Shillelagh Law is
it's a good one.
Just unbelievable.
Gets you the goosebumps.
The Goosies. If I had to only pick one, that would be it. There's a bunch of others that I really like, but if I had to pick one, that's it.
I would say the whole.
I could also see Kate's house on Christmas morning. I could see Kate being a huge fire up Spotify. Throw on the Christmas time is here.
My dad, the CD we played the most growing up was Dr. Demento's Christmas and like Cheech and Chong's 12 Days of Christmas. We never had like the normal.
We have the home videos of us decorating the tree and everything. It was always the Chipmunks. Always Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh yeah, the hippopotamus for Christmas song. I just bought a 6-foot Santa that looks like he's hanging on for dear life off my roof deck.
Love those outdoor.
You really do.
I think my theme will always be things hanging off the roof deck is going to be my thing. So I wanted the tackier, the better.
Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. It's On the Retreat.